which gang you did rap?
Which
gang you did rap?
Gang.
I know they try gang.
Yeah.
They don't get health insurance, sure. Well, but what like organization? Do
you get, the Progressive do you get Mind Shop.
Okay.
That's the name of my organization.
Wait, did it come out?
Say one more. Progressive
Mind Shop. It's on Instagram.
Progressive Mind Shop.
What's up? It's following
Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah. What's happening? Okay.
So what's that they do for you? Just saying.
So my is about promoting positivity, engaging in conversations that infuse positive attitudes, bridging the gap between Africans and African Americans. Basically, bridging the gap between the diaspora.
You're from Ghana.
Yep. On that side.
Oh, that's fine. We'll
just change it. Yep. We've been on this journey for about 5 years now.
Okay, nice one. Just as a heads up, plenty negativity go to this platform.
No problem.
So,
no problem.
I was not briefed. Why are you giving other people disclaimers? I'm a positive person. I don't do these things.
You are?
No.
Really? I haven't caught that.
No.
I just have to.
What exactly?
It's not the same.
So, if I. You know, you can see your face. I need to bring it down.
Hey, you guys, are you guys ready?
Oh, long time.
So okay, I am not far from you. I'm like 10 minutes away from you guys.
Okay.
All right, so this is why I was rushing. So they already started, so I guess I have to stop by.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
How much time?
For now. This shouldn't take long, right? Because you're about to leave, so.
Oh, shoot.
No, he'll just take off.
Does anybody have a charger? Charger for
there's
this?
Charger what's that? There's an Android.
Yeah, he has an
Android charger. So, where is it? Sambaza, where's your charger?
There's a charger which has multiple. Nosey has it. It has multiple chargers. There's an iPhone charger.
I think DJ has a brick. Yeah,
no brick. It's very loud too. Okay. On the size, just.
That second brick
isn't
connected to anything.
Yeah, it's connected to the.
Yeah, it's not connected to anything. Yeah, you should be able to use that one.
It's connected to the thing. You can remove the speaker.
That one, you should be able to remove it. Yeah.
Just remove that and connect it.
Or you can't remove it?
This one.
Wait, turn it the other way?
This one.
Oh, it's,
but this one doesn't have a USB. This one has a. This one has a USB. This
one
has
a. Does. Use the other one.
Yeah, how about the other one?
That one. Oh, I can take that one out.
So yeah. It's got a speaker, so it's fine. We're not using
it. Okay, so make sure it's charging, sir.
Yeah, it should have some juice on the top.
Have you checked my Twitter?
No, I have not. What did you post
on there?
This one that has my daughter's favorite image. She was doing this and then it goes like...
Okay, so Javi?
Yeah, she'll leave.
Okay.
We're ready.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it.
The exchange ceremony.
Yep. Exchanging cultures within the black community. This is how we bridge.
Everybody here looks like a pastor or something.
I was going to say, I thought it was a church.
It's not a church. These are.
No, Aspire to.
You're not from Illinois, right?
No.
Okay. Drop our website.
So these are.
Podbrick.com.
That's Reverend Jesse Jackson. That's our Secretary of State. So these are some state legislators.
Oh.
And some businessmen. Okay.
Is the light gonna affect that light? Oh, it's good? Okay.
We're good. Alright. Here, would you take it away?
Are we starting?
Yeah, we started. We started
rolling
already. We're just looking around.
Give me a countdown. What the fuck kind of countdown?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off.
Hello, Wasambazaji. Welcome to Sambaza Podcast, the show with the most riveting topics and conversations. I'm your host, Sambaza. Stay with us till the end for funny bloopers and rapid-fire questions. Don't forget to click and subscribe, as you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok as Sambaza Podcast. Did I mention that we are on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast? With that said, Wasambazaji, let's get this show started. Here we go. Hello, Wasambazaji. Welcome to another episode of the Pod Break series, and we are on part 7. In the part 7, we are talking to other African podcasters, and this is from the host of Progressive Mind, who joins the panel as we talk about African podcasting and Pod Collective in itself and how we can better ourselves as Africans. Generally, it was all an African affair topic, and hey, it was fun. You'll be the judge of it. Go ahead and listen, and hope you enjoy.
Can't depend on these guys for shit. Jesus wept. Hey, guys.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 2.
We have a pastor amongst
us. No, he says Jesus wept. That's where you find the verse.
Yeah.
I beg, it's not there. Is it there?
Wait, I see
it. It's not there. If you open Matthew chapter 5, verse 2 now, it's something different.
You see the Ghanaians and
Yeah.
Oh, are you
getting
I'm out.
He doesn't
understand.
I apologize. Rosa didn't really give us like a good breakdown of the profiles of people that were coming. Otherwise, we'd have had some boiled eggs ready for you. But it's okay. I think rice and chicken might...
What is it about eggs and Ghanaians, actually?
Eggs?
Yeah, boiled eggs.
I think it's an easy fix meal kind of thing. We eat egg with, sometimes we can just eat it like that. You know, we have this thing.
You're just called, eating the egg like that.
Yeah, we boil it and then cut it in two and then put some pepper and tomatoes and onions.
On the egg?
On the boiled egg?
Yeah, like you just cut it into two, like a sandwich. You make it look like a sandwich kind of thing.
A boiled egg sandwich.
But you know, like deviled eggs are what?
Deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs. No, but yeah, that's so, pretty much the same idea.
So you slice it into, and then
but I don't know about tomatoes. But,
you blend, you know, like you blend tomatoes and onion, pepper, right? Uh-huh. Just drop it into it, and then you drop the pepper and onion in the middle of the egg, and just put your mouth. It's a delicacy.
I wonder if there's like a history to that. Like, was there a time that like there were no chickens or something in Ghana?
No, the thing is, the egg.
No,
it's not.
You guys also put it on, like, you know what we call swallow, like fufu?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys also eat it.
Oh, you call fufu swallow?
Yeah, that's what we call it. It's not swallow.
No, fufu, you hardly would get. The only time you see eggs on fufu.
I've seen it, though.
That must be a special occasion. Let me say this. Egg is a very traditional thing.
Okay.
So people's, I don't know if you guys do that too, but on birthdays, we have what we call eto, right? Eto is when you mash potato.
Okay.
But this is made out of it's made out of plantain and yam, right?
Okay.
So you mash cooked ripe plantain, the green one or the ripe one.
Okay.
So you have that mashed one, and then you drop an egg in the middle. It's given to you on your birthdays. For some reason, it has egg. Well, egg symbolizes life, right?
Oh.
It symbolizes life and, of course, like fertility. So I wouldn't be able to speak to the tradition behind the use of egg, but I know that Ghanaians use it a lot, especially on birthdays when we were growing up. Everybody on your birthday, you will have an egg. Now, apart from the boiled egg on your meal, mm-hmm. right?
Another boiled egg.
Apart from a boiled on your meal, we use it as a way of showing gratitude sometimes. So let's say you were a kid and you win an award at school, or you do well, or you have good grades. Your daddy will say, "Oh, you did well today. I'm going to boil one egg for you."
For real.
Yeah.
Like it's not to say it's not the ultimate price, but it's a symbol.
It's so funny that I think the world is just getting like this information that like Ghanaians are really into.
You kept
this
so secret for so long.
Yeah. You guys actually kept this secret for so long. So
the again, I have to research the reason why. But these
you
are.
You did so well.
But we've used eggs in so many ways, uh-huh. And even maybe you guys, maybe Nigerians use it too. You know, juju now, like juju, that kind of thing. Ghanaians, we use like when Ghanaians want to engage in maybe a diabolic act, like when you do something against someone and they want to like curse you, mm-hmm. They will do that with a schnapp, like alcohol,
okay.
And maybe an egg or two, depending on what.
They put it on the ground.
The egg, exactly. Mm. They will speak words on the egg, and then smash it.
A rotten egg or
no raw egg? I mean, fresh. No, they took like fresh egg. They speak on it, whatever they want to say, and smash it on the ground. That is somebody trying to spiritually do something bad to you. So egg is used in Ghana for
so versatile.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. I mean, Kenya, we do have eggs, but they started to put it on everything. That's another topic. But
Egg of Life, part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Grab your coffee.
Yeah.
Nah.
It's so good to know, though, because I had no idea.
I did not know it was that deep.
Yeah, because we joke about Ghana. Nigerians love to joke about it.
Like, I want,
so you guys don't use eggs as
juju
and all of that back.
No, see, okay, I think our own equivalent of the boiled egg for you guys might be like kola nuts. That's the closest
but
thing.
The thing is that we don't put kola nuts in everything.
But we don't
everything.
Do, but it's not deep for us.
It's not deep for us.
I wonder,
it might be in our like spiritual stuff and all.
Yeah.
But we don't like eat it with everything.
Kola nuts is not part of our daily day to day.
Life. Exactly.
Maybe gari is our day to day, but it doesn't hold that much weight.
Yeah.
And it just makes me wonder, like, so when Ghanaians have bad dreams, what do you dream about? Fried egg?
Yes, egg jollof. No,
Ghanaian
jollof.
That's the wrong kind of egg. Wow. That's I did not know that.
Yeah.
We had a lesson. Yeah.
That's wow. That's something.
Yeah.
That's
we I don't know. So I think from here I'm gonna have to research why we use egg in these things, but yeah. Egg is used a lot. It's sold on the streets. Like, you know how street hawkers are peddling all kinds of fruits and food stuff? Egg is one of them. Actually, they boil it with salt.
Mm.
And it's prepared such boil a nice way.
How does it get
so, it? So, the egg is thrown in a bowl with salt.
The
so, by the time it boils,
yeah.
It has all this white egg, the salt thing on the shell. And they have, so the street peddlers, right, they have this little pan with the egg nicely arranged with the bowl of blended tomatoes, onion, and pepper. It's so juicy, you want one. So you can just stop and say, hey, I want one.
Kachubari. We call it kachubari.
Okay. Okay. So you just stop and you say, hey, egg, Sola, I want one. Peels it. Cut it into two, pour your, put a little bit of the spice, the tomatoes in the middle, throw some onions in there. Oh my God, it's...
As a Nigerian, I can't tell you how funny this conversation is.
I didn't know you could do this many things
so
about
much.
Egg. Like, that's so... Wow.
But we do hawk eggs as well, but I think specifically the guinea fowl eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, those taste a bit different, and they're really nice to eat. Yeah.
We really... Seriously, in Ghana, we really like use guinea fowl eggs. Guinea fowl itself is a delicacy, so it's like when you have a guinea fowl kebab, it's like a special treat. So we don't use guinea fowl anything else,
okay?
Close to it often.
Okay.
The main thing is, like I said, it would be
just
eggs.
The eggs.
Eggs.
Yeah. Love the eggs. Okay, it's a good history
shout
lesson.
Out to the many eggs. I'm gonna have a nice topic with Dennis after this.
Thank
my
you
friend.
For the education.
education.
I just had to go there. Wow, where do you go from there?
But we've always had a very interesting relationship, right? Ghanaians and Nigerians.
Yes.
I think, of course, we on the west of Africa, I think we're the only maybe three countries
that are Anglophone.
Four. Liberia,
yeah.
Nigeria,
Ghana and Cameroon. Cameroon is half.
Cameroon isn't considered West African. It's Central Africa.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to think it was, but it's not. Because Nigerians and Cameroonians have so much in common.
Yeah.
But at least they're English side.
Yeah, but if you look at the geographical location of Cameroon, you would say they're West because it's right at
the borders. Yeah, but it's just not borders. Considered. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So technically, it's not. But
yeah. So that leaves the two of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Liberia is a colony of African Americans, actually. Liberia was founded by African Americans. So they have a whole, their culture is different.
But you know what's interesting? I found out that there are like actual indigenous people to
the place.
Yeah. You know, before I used to think, because the way that, like, when I first found out about like Liberia's history, I thought the whole place was filled with like just like African Americans that came back to Africa. But apparently there were people already there. There's a strata, like there's the African Americans are actually, there's like a class system almost, and they're like at the top.
Right.
Mm. That's what I heard.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean,
so they came back and did, I feel like, what white people do.
I mean, it's like here, it's America, right? America, you say, is white people's land, but we know there were indigenous here before they got here. Everywhere you go, there were black people there. Like indigenous black people everywhere on this globe. We actually traveled everywhere. We were in Europe, we were in Asia, we were everywhere. And so on the continent, we were just everywhere. So anybody that comes, South Africa is not white people. Zimbabwe is not white people, even though you see a lot of white people there.
Namibia.
This is all our land. I mean, the whole earth was littered by black people. We have just been everywhere until, of course, things happened. Now we find ourselves where we are. But I was going to the point I was making earlier with regards to Nigerians and Ghanaians. Very, very interesting. And if you look at politics, if you look at sociocultural life, we have literally fended off each other. You know, at the point in time, Ghanaians migrated to Niger and they deported. We were there, we survived, and they deported us. Okay. Oh, yeah, Nigerians did that to us. They were like, you know what? That's when, you know, it happened.
Yeah, Nigerians earlier, before that happened, Nigerians were also in Ghana.
In Ghana, because here's what happened. You know, Ghana first had independence.
Yeah.
Right? Ghana was the first country to get independence from slavery along the coast, along the western part of Africa. So when that happened, of course, it trickled down to other African nations. So Dr. Kwame Nkrumah started all of this. So at the point in time, Ghana had a very booming economy, right? Because of the gold. And at the time, Nigeria had not discovered the oil and all of that. So the British, Nkrumah, when the British left, there was a lot of money that they gave Nkrumah. So Ghana was growing. When Nkrumah built the highways in Ghana, Netherlands and European countries, they didn't have highways. Nkrumah has such a foresight that is unbelievable. The things he was doing in Ghana or in Africa then, some European countries, including Singapore and Malaysia, had no clue. Even Dubai. You see what I'm saying? So, but anyway, fast forward. So Nigerians would migrate to Ghana for greener pastures because why? We speak the same international language.
What, pidgin?
English.
No, English.
Right? Because we've had the same colonial masters, right?
Yes.
So it was easy for them to come. And then I think, I don't want to mention his name, but there was this political leader then.
Isn't he dead?
No, his bones are even rotten.
Mention his name, he's not going
to
come
out. No, because I have not researched it, I don't want to say his name. If I can back it with facts.
Oh, I hear you.
However, what happened was that, yes, Nigerians came, even Liberians. Liberians came to Ghana, like just like we come here to America, and at the point in time, they too had to be, you know, driven back to Liberia because once the economy starts getting saturated, then leaders have to take decisions to protect the indigenous of the country. So that led to Nigerians being sacked back to Nigeria and Liberians as well. Now the tables turn, like Nigeria finds oil. And it's a whole situation. Now, Ghanaians are flocking to Nigeria.
They
went there. Ghanaians succeeded in Nigeria. But guess what happened? it got to a time Nigerians were like, I'm a Ghana. You are suffocating us. You have to go back. So that is where Ghana must go. Ghana. The Ghana must go back. That is the history of Ghana must go. So now Ghanaians have to, and it was like a 24 hours, 48 hours kind of notice. You got to go now.
I mean, they pulled like an evening.
Jesus. They had to go. See, they were packed in. Have you seen this old school? They call it Bedford. It was like
one of those Bedford trucks.
No windows, nothing. Yeah. No.
Don't ring the bell.
You don't know about Bedford trucks?
Yeah.
No, why? What,
well, they just park them there.
Sorry, I'm not from the trenches.
So that began it. And then we had soccer tournament rival, like, you know, international games. And then we had, and then even Afrobeat. Fast forward to Afrobeat.
I ever say we stole that from you guys.
Yes, let me just ask you. Can I give you the history of Afrobeat? Let me give you the history.
Can you mute the mic? Cheers, mate.
Now he's about to start capping.
Let me give you a brief history of Afrobeat.
Okay.
So you know,
High Life, I know we stole from you guys.
Yeah, you stole that. I mean, CK, CK Man, Sunny Ade, those people were all like, they were inter.
But you see, the thing about Nigerians is we take something and we make it
better.
Before you get there, it was Kenya who started the whole thing.
Okay, so we started with Osun Gode.
Nigerians were coming to record
what
in Kenya.
Kenya started with us.
When you started singing our songs, wait.
No, brother, I refuse.
Let me tell you how Afrobeat started. Let me tell you. Do you know Two-Face? Two-Face in Libya.
Okay, yes.
Do you know when he came up with "You Are My African Queen"?
Was in Ghana.
Do you know that was his? Do you know where he launched it? It was in Ghana.
Yeah, but then, like, how does that mean that you guys?
No. What I'm before,
tell us before, how we stole Afrobeat.
Before Two-Face came to Nigeria, Ghana, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria, there was no Afrobeat. Okay, now they say Afrobeat, Fela Kuti started Afrobeat, but Fela Kuti, we're not talking about that type of Afrobeat. Good. So let's talk about this generation Afrobeat. There wasn't Afrobeat then.
Okay.
High Life, you know, started from Ghana. We can say it started from Nigeria. We're not arguing. At the end of the day, High Life. Let's say we can share it between Nigeria and Ghana. Okay, let's say that safely, to be on the safe side. Now, until late 90s, there's a guy called Reggie Rockstone.
Why don't we know him?
I'll tell you this, hold on.
Okay.
And I was going to do a show on this because I know a lot of people don't know. Reggie Rockstone is a Ghanaian. He was born in America, but he came back after a long while. He lived in New York, came back after a long while to Ghana. And then he introduced hip hop into High Life and called it Hip Life.
Okay.
Now, he started rapping and using hip-hop beats with the High Life that we had. It caught on. A lot of guys like Obrafo, Nananom, a lot of Ghanaians, R2Bs, they went gang-ho with the whole thing. So Ghana was doing very well in Hip Life. But then it was not popular in Nigeria. Nigeria may have their own musicians who were maybe underground, but it wasn't known internationally or at least on the continent of Africa. So here's what happened. Two-Face, because it was very popular already in Ghana, he had his African Queen single. He came to Ghana. He launched it in Ghana. And then everybody loved it in Ghana. So when it picked up, he went back to Nigeria. It became a popular song. So now Two-Face is known with his My African Queen thing. Now, Two-Face is now big. So Two-Face now does several songs. People like Eyanya.
This was not the beginning of our...
Tell me who was the beginning of our...
Tell me who was in Nigeria. Wait. Before we enter that one. Let's
see how we
Let's hear your fraudulent claim.
Yes. I'm going to call my boy. I think I'm going to call my boy.
Is your boy also Kenyan?
Yes,
of course he is.
This is the way... And actually, it goes to Nigeria. They say in the music industry, from Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
All musicians say that the Kenyan music industry started booming. It started popping up.
What year was this?
This was times of Kalamashaka. If you go research Kalamashaka, Hardstone.
So was that the 80s, so 70s?
No, we're 90s? We're talking about the 90s.
90s, okay.
Kalamazula.
Kalamashaka.
Okay, right.
And at that time, it was really... there was not anyone coming out there. And this is on our side. We're talking about East Africa.
Okay.
I'm representing musicians.
What kind of music were they making?
Same kind of, same thing like the, it's like the Afrobeat. But it's
hip-hop.
Yeah.
But it didn't have
like
a name.
They didn't have a name.
Okay.
It had no name at all.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And Kalamashaka actually came to Nigeria and on the Benson and Hedges concert.
Okay.
And they even said this was the first time they actually got out there and looked at the crowd. They had never seen a whole stadium filled with people. They were used to smaller crowds.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. At that time, there were no Nigerian, there was no Afrobeat, as it's called now,
right.
Afrobeat.
Right.
I don't even, anyways.
And
yeah, let's let them cook.
Yeah.
And from there, when they realized and they saw the Kenyans doing it, they came, we did the research and went back and created it with a bigger following. We have never been able to catch up. I'm sorry to say. But before that, South Africa can also claim that they were there before that.
You mean, we?
You can.
Because y'all took it from hip hop.
Okay.
We went, and then y'all
so I mean, that's how.
That is why, you see, that's a very powerful point. You see, that is why.
Like black Americans?
That's what I tell Africans. That's what I tell Africans. No, to be honest, that's what I tell Africans. That it's very important that we align and appreciate African Americans.
I mean,
and I'll say this. And I'll say this. Their culture has revolutionized music globally. There is no music genre in this world, Asia, Africa, Europe, that does not replicate pop culture, which was created by African Americans. There is no youth in Africa who will not sing and swag like the African American. In fact, if you don't do that, your music doesn't go far. Tell me one African who has made it from Burna Boy, Wizkid, who does not swag like the African. The lyrics, the style, the music video content.
Even the way they move.
Now, the only reason why Burna Boy and Wizkid.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
No, listen. Yeah. The only reason why Burna Boy and Wizkid are going global is because of African American musicians. P Square, listen, this is why Afrobeat became very international. Okay? P Square did a collab with, what's his name?
Rick Ross.
Question.
Go ahead.
Before we start this comment, I feel like we have to actually differentiate between what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about the music being on an international scale? Mm-hmm. Or are we before the music went international, Nigeria was already doing its thing.
Exactly.
Do you get what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's just not that like Wizkid them are like starting to branch out and stuff like that.
No, but Nigeria.
But in and of itself, Nigeria already had its own music. Like, there was a time.
Africa had its own music.
Even Kenya.
Like you said, Kenya, Tanzania.
Even
South Africa.
Yeah.
So what we are saying is, Africa alone consuming our content, right, does not put us on the international globe. You see what I'm saying? You see now Dangote is doing his advert on CNN because Dangote wants to be international. You can't just be Africa alone. Now it's not just Africa; it's vice versa. BMW, they don't only sell in Germany. Their brand is everywhere. Coca-Cola is everywhere. So if Africans want to branch out, we have to be everywhere too, right? Our branding has to be everywhere. So what I'm saying is to break into the Western world with our music or clothing, whatever thing it is, we need some collaboration. Now, for us, one thing that is working for us right now is our culture, which is music too and sports, right? And so the closest proximity for us is our collaboration with African Americans. And so I am not saying, I understand you're shaking your head, but tell me how any African who has made it big in music, apart from Fela Kuti, how many of these Afrobeat stars that has made it big time without the collaboration and recognition of African American pop culture influence?
Whiskey.
Okay, do you know how Wizkid made it?
Drake is not African American; he's Canadian.
No, but
you had to throw the.
But do you know Drake? His music is African American.
I'll give you that. I think you have a
Drake's mannerism, his style, everything is African American. If Drake sings anything close to Canadian, he wouldn't have been that big.
What really is Canadian
but
music?
No, exactly. But let's understand. Okay. I want us to like be able to touch each point as we go instead of jumping from one thing
to another.
You guys made it clear. Individually,
that Nigeria,
that Afrobeats came from Kenya and Ghana.
Exactly.
I don't understand how two countries claim responsibility for one thing that to this day they are not recognized for. Okay? Here's the thing. Before Two-Face did African Queen, he was part of a group with FaZe
Plantation Boys
and Blackface called Plantation Boys. They were doing R&B. If you go back and listen,
Nigeria,
some of that stuff is early Afrobeats. These are people that opened doors.
Was it a hit though?
Of course, it's a hit in Nigeria.
No, in Nigeria.
But no, hold on.
African Queen
but
became
international. Wait, hold on. Let's focus on. We're not even going to globalization.
I'll touch on what you just said. I have a point, and go ahead.
Yes. So it's not. Let's not touch on globalization yet. We're starting from the root of this.
Where
Africa
gotcha.
Right. So again, we can't. It would be a disservice to all the other artists that came before Two-Face to say it wasn't until Two-Face did African Queen and then sold it in Ghana, then it now went international. Before we say that's where everything started, because there were other groups, a lot of groups.
We don't even consider Two-Face
prior to that. Two-Face is somebody we consider that opened doors, but we're not looking at him as
the one that started it.
There was a whole event that was organized in his honor.
But hold on.
He's an OG.
Hold on. We're not saying that he's not a legend.
Yeah.
We are saying that there are many steps.
Okay, well, Sambazaji, thank you for listening in, and we shall continue with this conversation regarding the Afrobeats on our next episode. Please tune in, and let's meet over there then. Bye. Well, okay, that concludes our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to Sambaza. Stay tuned next week as we'll present to you a new episode. Meanwhile, let's chat through Instagram and Twitter at Sambaza Podcast. Or you can send me an email via sambazapodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can send me a voicemail message if you have the Anchor app. Let's talk and chat. Peace and love, Wasambazaji.